One of the greatest themes in the Bible of unity is the theme of marriage. And the idea of being happy in home and in marriage, serving one another and helping one another, is a beautiful presentation. You'll have to mix verses that deal with the idea of Jesus and his love for the church in Ephesians 5, beginning verse 23, with the idea of true love's meaning found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Many people think of Jesus' love for the church much like they think of a regular home and regular background of their marriage and what they've been brought up to see and learn and do. And some of those marriages, of course, are far away from what the Lord would have people to do. When Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it, for her, it is the case that he desired to save her. He desired to cleanse her, to make her fully acceptable to heaven's gate. And so when that day would come, she'd be ushered in and received in. The people who were converted to the Lord would be found to be in the presence of the Lord. And the idea of being married to Christ Jesus is a theme that runs through the New Testament of our Bible. In Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul addressed the thought there through the guidance of the Holy Spirit about this subject. He mentions the fact about marriage, and he mentions how marriage is so important, that if a man has another wife while he has this wife, that he enters into adultery. And without giving explanation in regard to what Jesus did in Matthew 19, in regard to there being fornication committed, sexual acts being done outside the marriage, and therefore the desire to separate from one another in that regard, he didn't give that explanation. He simply mentions that this is the fact that there is random choice of another mate, and how that is against the teaching of God in regard to the old law. He said, we are made dead to the old law. He mentions, however, if she be dead, he is free from that law, so that he may know adultery, even though he be married to another. And he mentions that to say that the law, we became dead to the law of Moses, that we might be one to Christ, that we might be in Christ Jesus and be a blessing to our souls, because we follow his will, his teaching, and not the tenet teachings of the old law that involve animal sacrifices and incense offerings and special favors in regard to certain priesthoods and so forth and so on. As a result of that, the Lord loved them and cared about them enough to say, here's what real love is in 1 Corinthians 13. And when you notice the description of real love, you see that it has within it scope because of love. It can have within its scope an intimacy, a closeness, a bonding between a husband and wife. But it also has this deeper sense, that is, a commitment that is made. There is a plan to be carried out. There's a workmanship together that is being done. And wonderful are the blessings found in having that kind of love. And if we find ourselves having this kind of love in the Bible, we'll think no evil. We'll rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. We'll bear all things. That is, we'll go the second mile. We'll believe all things. We'll endure all things. We will never fail one another, because true love are those descriptions in 1 Corinthians 13, you see. And so the concept that in a marriage, when these things are violated and there is a separation that is done, a division that occurs within the marriage, you can see that since it is such a major concern with God that there be unity and oneness in the Lord, and the idea of his strength and love for the church, and he gave himself for her, it must be a soul-wrenching kind of an event when the person chosen for marriage, be it man or woman, somehow or another gets away from that marriage. It's a sad situation. Now, you can only imagine in this regard how much that may have played a part in the heart of God. But in my thoughts and thinking about this and praying about this through the years, I believe I can see a special tenet in God's mind when in James chapter 1, beginning verse 26, he says the following and mentions about children, special children. He says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit or to take care of the needs of the fatherless and widows, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. What's true religion? Pure religion. When you get down to the essence of pure religion, God said through James, let me tell you, there's a special place in my heart for certain people on earth. And when you care for those fatherless and widows, now many congregations of which I've been aware through the years are content to not know anything about the fatherless and widows. Send a little money there to meet the needs that are reported to be. Obviously, what would there be needs in a family? Would there not be needs for food, clothes, and shelter? Would there not be need for guidance and counseling and updating? Would there not be need for training and help and aid? All those kind of things that we would mentor with our regular families are going to be missing with the fatherless and the widows. And here's a Christian who practices pure religion. Comes along, and what does this person do? This person reaches out and visits the fatherless and widows in their affliction. You see, they're in affliction. When we talk about affliction now, we talk about something that the Lord uses in a number of settings in the Bible. James is but one place of it. This affliction idea is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 when he says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in any time of our trouble or affliction, that we may be able to comfort others in their time of trouble or affliction with the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. He doesn't have a whole bunch of different methods for different people's situations. He says to the true Christian, practice pure religion. Care for the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Would you think one of those afflictions might be a divided mom and dad? And it largely stems from that division within the home. I think we need to be people who first pray about the home. I think we need to be people who secondly counsel about the home. And I think we need to be people, thirdly, who really insist that we begin a practice monetarily and socially to help the fatherless and widows with our whole heart, not just with a contribution given or sent. I praise the men here who talk about this in our business meetings. I'm not meaning to divulge any particular privacy in those meetings. And when I say this, I appreciate the men, and you ladies have helped these men to be this kind of people. They steadily talk about going to make a visit somewhere where there are people who are widows and orphans, fatherless, and they are steadily making plans to do that, steadily wanting to be around them. Bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things, never fails. We need to have that kind of love in our marriage. And when we do, we'll transfer that kind of love to our neighbors and friends, to other people. When we date someone in life, we will find ourselves in that dating showing a great respect for, out of that love, a commitment instead of getting so involved in situation. Let me tell you a little bit about some marriage.
The song of invitation is provided tonight, and it's your subject to Jesus' invitation to confess your faith in Him, be immersed into Christ, and begin living that new life of service in Him because you love Him so much. Would you come as we stand and sing?